This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
It is the Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 90 down the game. John Fricke with you today alongside Oren and Dede. Dukes of Bell back on Monday. It's going to be a really busy time here, an extremely busy time here in Atlanta. And, of course, we're going to be all over town from Murph's out of the Cobb Galleria for the All-Star Weekend to the College Football Hall of Fame, SEC Media Days, and getting ready now. Our crews are going to be running all over High Haven, and they'll be heading out to camp 13 days from now for training camp for the Atlanta Falcons. It starts on July 24th. That's the first open camp for all the fans to come in. Through August the 13th, and the last couple of days are going to be the joint practices with the Tennessee Titans. We're going to bring you exclusive on-site coverage of the training camp, morning shift, steakhouse, Andy and Randy. And then Dukes of Bell, they're going to be at the Hooters at the Mall of Georgia for their wrap-up shows every single day, which we, when Hugh and I and all the rest of us were doing it, Oren, back in the day, we would like get really envious of when they made the decision. Because Carl and Mike were right. There was no reason for them to be sitting around. You know, they said, we're sitting around in a, you know, there's nobody here. Everybody's left. Why are we sitting around broadcasting from a site where everybody's left? I'm like, well, dude, what do you think we did in the morning show? We got here at O'Dark and broadcasted when nobody else was around. But then they got to go to Hooters, and especially, oh, God, bless America, especially Andy and Randy, because they had to sit in that heat, Oren. Remember that? Yeah, there's itty-bitty little fans trying to cool you down. Ooh, sun beating down on you. Yeah. And they were getting in the nice air-conditioned Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. By the way, coverage brought to you by Rolex Real Mowers. Get the best grass in your neighborhood. And by Window Nation, windownation.com, 866-90-NATION. Live coverage of Falcons training camp starts on July 24, which is 13 days away. Bijan Robinson came out, gentlemen and everybody else, and said that he wants the Falcons to be the best offense in the NFL. He says it's not a want to, it's we need to. Everybody's waiting for that to happen. Now, we all understand that the Falcons do have certain advantages offensively. There's no reason they couldn't be a top five. He wants it to be the number one. I'm going to give you the one thing that one or two things that might keep it from being number one. They have a very – look, we all talk about the defense. Everybody says the same thing. We had it earlier today with Ryan McFadden. He said, hey, if the Falcons' defense takes a step up. But let's kind of look at the other side of the ball. Does the Falcons' offense produce in a fashion, a consistent fashion, the way a championship team should produce? And we're talking 28 to 30 points a game. We're talking about being able to get – red zone scores and not just field goals. We're talking about getting first downs. We're talking about controlling the clock. We're talking about all those things that, you know, Raheem Morris has got to be better about in clock management and all the, and they certainly have the playmakers. The draft has afforded them lots of playmakers. Bijan might be, you know, it's possible he could be the number one running back in the NFL. That's absolutely possible. And he's got a guy behind him who could start for, how many teams could Tyler Allgeier start for, Day-Day? Could he start for half the league?
Yeah, I'd say that.
Orrin, could he start for half the league?
That's accurate, yeah.
And then you look at Drake, who I don't think we've even scratched the surface as to how good Drake can be. And like Kyle Pitts, and I know all you're like grumbling and rolling your eyes, but when you're talking about guys like Drake and Kyle and some other who have had to play with six starting quarterbacks in 4 years, you know, it's you can't get in rhythms. It's difficult. You know, one's aging, one's a DoorDash guy, one's a noodle arm, one's a broke down liar, another's Taylor Heineke, and now you're to Michael Bennings, right? So it's really about the quarterback position for the Atlanta Falcons. Let's get that. Their offensive line is going to be fine. Their weapons are fine. I think Mooney can really have a big year. I just think that it's about the quarterback. And the question becomes about Michael Penix. I think everything I've seen from Michael Penix, and I've had the luxury of watching him ever since he set foot on a college football field because my wife is an Indiana Hoosier. So I watched him for those 3 years get beat up and smashed all over the field. But he always had that kind of moxie at Indiana. It was a question of whether or not he could throw the ball well. He was really kind of more of a dual-threat quarterback at IU. And then when Kalen DeBoer left as the offensive coordinator in Indiana and became the head coach at Washington, he took Michael Penix with him and turned him into a pocket passer. And we all saw the result of that, went to the national title game. And then now, of course, comes to Atlanta as the Falcons said, we have to draft him, and all the fallout from that because, you know, Kirk Cousins wants to say that, you know, he wouldn't. This is what bothered me so much about the quarterback thing. Kirk Cousins out there saying, well, you know, I didn't want to lose my job. I didn't want to get Wally Pipped. Wally Pipped was a famous player, was starting first baseman in the Yankees, got injured. Lou Gehrig took his place, and rest is history. And that's why people say don't ever give up your starting job, which is one of the reasons, by the way, most NFL quarterbacks don't come out of games. Even if it's 42-3, the starting quarterback is still in there. They don't want the backup to get any reps, and which is silly because, you know, in college, the backups get reps all the time. But there's this NFL quarterback thing that just is weird. And Kirk Cousins buys into that 100%. But at the same time, if his backup was Easton Stick, would he have been so worried about not coming out of a game? No, he didn't come out of the game because he was worried that Michael Penix was going to take his job. Sure, he was not coming out of the game because he was being petty about the fact that the Falcons had drafted a quarterback. And you can't really, in my world, blame the Falcons because, again, they went to Seattle and they went, oh, my God. So the question is about Michael Penix. I think Penix has handled himself very well. I've been very impressed with how Michael Penix has handled him so far. Everything says to me that Michael Penix is capable of dealing with everything that has surrounded him in all of this. He's handled it very professionally. Now, he's a bit of an older... How old is he, guys? Is he 26 yet? I mean, he's not 21. He's got to be pushing... He's at least 25. So he's, you know, he's getting into his mid-20s. He's 25. You know, he'll be 26. I mean, he's a bit of an older young quarterback. So he's a little bit more mature in that regard, but I think he's really, you know, comported himself very well. Does he start to sync with these guys, you know, now that he gets a chance to have a full camp with them? Does he, you know, understand a little bit about, you know, where guys want the ball, you know, how much touch, maybe work on a touch pass a little bit? Because a couple of his drops, two of his three interceptions were the result of the fact that he just threw the ball too bloody hard. He throws it as hard as I mentioned it yesterday. I don't know how many quarterbacks in the NFL throw the pass faster than he does. It's a fastball coming out. It's a heater coming out of his hand. And so it'd be interesting to know, you know, if he's right there at the top. This guy's got to be top five in the NFL in terms of that kind of arm strength here. So it's just a matter of getting kind of synced up here. If he syncs up with the team, that's great. Now but the problem is he's got to sync up, and he's got to sync up early. Because we all know that this schedule it's doable. I don't think it's as daunting as some people think, but he's got to sync up with them early, and they got to hit the ground running, especially when your opening game is at home against Tampa, because that might turn out to be eventually a must-win game. Now, to that point, there is some news about Tampa to pass along. Tampa just lost Tristan Wirfs. Tristan Wirfs, their star, superstar tackle, is going to miss the first month of the season or so with some surgery. which could be really good news for the Atlanta Falcons. You know, may be able to put more pressure on Baker Mayfield. And Lord knows the Falcons have to ramp up the pressure on defense, not let Baker go off for 450 yards and four scores. You just can't let that happen. So that's a product of getting in Baker's face, and worse injury might help that a little bit. And yes, we all understand that the pass rush has got to be there. But back to the offense. I think it's probably a little bit ahead, maybe a year ahead of being able to say the Falcons can have the best offense in the NFL. But I think next year, 26, yeah, if Bijan were to say that. But I'm not going to put it past Bijan to be actually kind of right. It's possible that if Michael Penix advances a little bit quicker, especially as we go through the year, and they start getting in sync, this offense could be top shelf. It may be missing one thing, and this is where it's going to be really interesting to see for me, the Darnell Mooney effect. Does Darnell Mooney, he's always shown the ability to be a separated, you know, home run receiver. Can he turn into a big-time separated home run receiver? Can he turn into a guy that suddenly other teams fear? They notice him. They pay attention to him. I'm not sure they fear him yet. It's up to Michael Penix to make them fear him, because if they fear him, that opens up everything else. You have to be able to drag that other safety over. If Darnell Mooney becomes that kind of superstar potential over the top, what he had with Roman Dunze at Washington, right? What you have with the Jamar Chase, what you have with the Justin Jefferson. And I'm not saying he has to be Jefferson or Chase. I'm saying, but he's got to put up numbers close to that. I am saying that. I'm not saying that at the end of the year, Darnell Mooney can have five touchdowns. No, he's going to have five explosive touchdowns and maybe 10 touchdowns. I mean, he's got to be a guy that could be a weapon for you. He may need to have more touchdowns than anybody else in that receiving corps, including Drake London. He's going to have to be the guy that's going to have to be counted on, because the one missing piece I see on this offense that might separate it away from, because I think they've got depth at all these positions. I think their offensive line depth is actually pretty good. They certainly have depth at quarterback and running back right now. But at wide out here, that's the one thing they're missing, is that other explosive receiver. So you think back to the greatest offense we ever had, 2016. You had the two running backs, right? You had Freeman, you had Coleman. Well, you got that right now in Bijan and Tyler. Matter of fact, Bijan and Tyler as a unit are better than Freeman and Coleman. Because I don't even like saying Freeman's name anymore. But Penix is not Matt Ryan. And we all know that. Okay? He's just not. And the receiving core of that team, it was Julio. And even if Drake grows into a great, great receiver, and he could be a Julio-type receiver, that team also had a breakout guy in Calvin Ridley, and they had a slot guy who could also break out in Mohamed Sanu. Just overall, that was a better receiving core, if not for the fact that it also happened to have greatest receiver, Roddy White, Julio Jones, make your argument there in the team history here. But that was probably the best receiving core. There's another great receiving core this team had way back in the day, Alfred Jenkins, Wallace Francis, Billy White Shoes Johnson, but that was a long time ago. Yeah, you look at this receiving core, and the key guy is going to be Darnell Mooney. Everybody talks about Pitts, but I'm trying to tell you that Mooney is the guy. If he has the breakout year, if he has the year that I think he's potentially going to have, especially if he sinks and becomes the Adunze to Penix, that's when everything breaks open for this offense. That's the moment, because now he opens up the middle of the field. That's what happens. And Drake can work in the middle of the field. Pitts can work in the middle of the field. Bijan can work around in terms of wheel routes. That opens up everything if you have that other guy. If he doesn't, then in the offseason here, or even maybe at the trade deadline, they're going to have to go get that guy. I think he's not far off. I think what Bijan says, he wants the Falcons to become the best offense in the NFL. He says, it's not a want to, it's a we need to. I agree. And he says, everybody's waiting for that to happen. I think the Falcons believe that. Now, whether it happens or not, I don't know. But I think they believe that they are ready to bust out. Does that happen early or late? That's the only real question. Grant McCauley is going to jump into the program. All-Star Weekend, busy for the station, busy for the city, busy for you and me. Day-Day is going to the HBCU Home Run Derby thing. Busy for everybody at Truist Park. We'll talk to our Braves insider, Grant, next on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Yeah, All-Star Weekend at Truist Park kind of kicks off tomorrow. And, of course, again, Merce over at the Cobb Galleria for 99 The Game's coverage going over there to the Fan Village. Grant McCauley, our Braves insider, host of From the Diamond, joining us again on the WayForward.com hotline. Here it is, All-Star Weekend. And, Grant, always a lot of fun to cover big events when it you know, especially when they're in your own hometown, because you get a little bit of show off stuff. I mean, it's kind of fun for people to come in who've never had a chance to see Truist Park and see how kind of cool it is.
Yeah, no doubt. And they've got this place decked out. You definitely know the All-Star Game is here. The HBCU Classic is happening here this evening. And then everything, I think, kicks off over the weekend with the Fan Village Open, with the Futures Game, the Home Run Derby, of course, and a lot of other celebrity involvement. Then, of course, we got the All-Star Game on Tuesday. So if you like baseball, this might be the place for you over the next 4 days.
Yeah, and to put the Aaron bat on display was pretty good touch, too.
Yeah, they have pulled out all the stops here, and you kind of expect that. And, you know, obviously this is a place that's been, you know, ripe for an All-Star Game since the moment that it was completed, and it's good to see that it's finally here.
Let's talk a little bit about the team as it stands. You're seeing the reports as I am. Look, I saw one of your tweets, you know, when you're trying to talk some people off the ledge here about the fact that, you know, oh, we're, you know, forget about Acuna, but Chris Sale. I'm like, okay, guys, we're pretty much going to, we know how we're going to dance into next year, but there are a couple of guys that could be made available. One, Marcell Ozuna, and the other now, there seems to be a lot of kind of growing momentum about the potential availability of Sean Murphy. Are you seeing one or both being potentially available by the Braves?
Not, I mean, like with Ozuna or anybody else on a expiring contract, that's one way to look at the availability factor. And I would look more so at Raisel Iglesias, at Pierce Johnson, and bullpen options that might make a little bit more sense, because everybody's always looking for bullpen help. Sean Murphy, to me, unless somebody's willing to just absolutely you know, go above and beyond and push you into having consider making a deal, I think that's something you can start to size up over the course of the winter. And with Chris Sale, the thing that just doesn't make sense to me is, number one, he's hurt. So that's going to temper the expectation for whatever club picks him up and, of course, the return for him. And then you have to think about, all right, we've traded him. Now who's pitching in that spot next year because he's under contract for another year and the Braves aren't looking to bust this thing down to the studs and, you know, deal away every useful piece that they have that's not under a multi-year deal. So I just kind of look at this as the speculation that goes with this time of year. And even though the Braves have fallen flat, especially losing, what, 11 of their last 14 games here and losing that series to the A's to start off this last little stretch before the All-Star break, I just don't think that they're in this place where they're looking to make drastic moves and just start trading away anything that's not nailed down.
Grant McCauley, Braves insider, All-Star weekend at Truist Park. And we'll see the Home Run Derby coming up. And the Home Run Derby, which I honestly, Grant, it was so great when it first started, sort of like the slam dunk, and then it kind of like faded away. They kept changing the rules, and all the superstars we used to see, you know, Ken Jr. turning his hat backwards, and you know, Bonds, all the big guns, McGuire and whatnot, and it gave way to kind of second tier, for lack of a better term, guys, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. They just weren't the superstars of the game. But to have Ronald Acuña Jr. in it suddenly makes me probably interested in the Home Run Derby for the first time in 5 or 6 years. So I don't know. I think that this could be a lot of fun for the fans, especially if Ronald goes off during the Derby.
Yeah, I definitely think it can be. I mean, it's an interesting field. And really, with this, I don't know if it's quite as drastically different than the slam dunk competition is, because you just don't really seem to see any stars wanting to get involved in that anymore. You do see it a little bit more. It's just you're not going to get Aaron Judge in it every year. You're not going to get Shohei Ohtani in it every year. For that matter, you won't get Ronald Acuña Jr. in it every single year. But it is something that Ronald is a showman, and he enjoys this opportunity, and he wanted to do this as much or more for the fans, the Atlanta fans that are here in this ballpark in his backyard, to have a chance to showcase everything he possibly can in that regard. I know that's what he's really fired up about. He'd love to win this thing. There are some other very capable sluggers and some interesting storylines behind them, not the least of which is Cal Raleigh, who, if you had him leading the majors in homers at this point, I would have asked how you figured that out, because I knew he was going to hit a bunch, but I didn't know he'd already have set a career high before we even get to the All-Star break and has some history, quite possibly, for catchers in the all-time, you know, annals of baseball to hit the most home runs in a single season for a catcher. And there's some other interesting names in there, but it's a fun showcase. I think they've done what they can to not allow it to lag quite as much as it did. I'm not sure I'm on board with all of the bracketing the way that it's done, but it is, I think, at least an enjoyable contest, and to see one live is going to be a lot of fun.
All right, let's talk a little bit about, because next year begins right now. It begins this weekend with the draft. And let me just start here, because I want to kind of put a button on what you've been talking about, Grant, in regards to Chris Sale. Is it fair for most Braves fans like myself to assume that come next spring at Northport, that, you know, Chris Sale, Spencer Strider, Spencer Schwalbach, Ronaldo Lopez, likely the four that you're going to be kind of looking at down there? In other words, it's going to be same as it ever was. These guys are healthy, and these are the horses we're going to ride.
Yeah, I think that they are. I think Grant Holmes has also pitched his way into that equation, so I wouldn't sell him short of being a piece that, you know, if he's a back-end starter, you're in a pretty good spot there if you've got those other four guys in place. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there may not be that off-season deal that comes together that just makes a ton of sense for the Braves to finally add that starter. I felt like they needed one more veteran over the course of the winter. It didn't get done. They didn't bring them in. And so as a result of that, they just weren't able to have the depth. Now, one guy wasn't going to fix it, let's be honest. They weren't going to give Max Fried $218 million. And I think a lot of people had really gotten to the point where they were like, you know what, we've seen enough Charlie Morton. We don't need to bring him back for year after year after year. And now you look at it, and it might be nice to have Charlie Morton around to help out. But he can't hit, so the season kind of is what it is. But long story short, I think that there's a lot of time, a lot of planning that can go into this next year that is not necessarily set in stone. Even if you know a few of the pieces, there's a lot to still be figured out over the course of the next 6 or so months, and of course over the winter.
Yeah, and the reason I bring it up is not only to kind of just, you know, settle down some of the, you know, hey, trade Chris Sale people, but also to talk about the draft, because the Braves have invested in the draft so heavily in starting pitchers over the last number of years. Matter of fact, last time they took a number one pick that wasn't a starting pitcher was 2019 when they took Shea Langeliers.
Yeah.
Do you expect the Braves in this draft, in the first round, are going to look at something else, you know, into catcher, into shortstop, into, I don't know, maybe an outfield position that is going to be a position player more likely than to invest in yet another starting pitcher?
If they draft a catcher, I think some people are going to want a serious explanation about what exactly the plan is. You know, that's one thing, because based on where the Braves are right now and their season and their record, they have the fourth highest odds for landing the number one overall pick. That's not a thing I thought we'd be talking about this year. So that could change the calculus of who and what they're looking at drafting, and position players could be on the board at that point. Whereas before, if you're drafting to the middle or later part of the first round, maybe you are just looking for that next best college arm, or maybe you take a chance on a prep arm the way they did with Cam Caminiti last year. So they've got a few pitching prospects in the minors that I do think are interesting, but we're talking more about the 2027 class as far as being major impact arms. And that, of course, is way down the line. But I think at some point with the drafts, you always have to look at who is the best available talent, what makes the most sense for us, where does that fit in our plan. And I think the Braves may be uniquely qualified to do a little bit of that this year, rather than just having to say, okay, we knew the 10, you know, quote-unquote best players available are already off the board. Now, who do we like? And maybe they'll find a talent that, you know, falls into their plans that they had not previously been counting on.
Right. I mean, it's not really, considering the nature of the game, it's not like necessarily like an NFL draft. In other words, what's the biggest need on the team right now? Well, I mean, probably closer or shortstop, right? I mean, those would be the two
right.
biggest needs, right? But you don't necessarily draft to that because you're not necessarily thinking that, you know, that's going to be.
No, because they're not going to be there for years.
Right.
So
right.
It's not exactly. A linear line of development for these players, and that's where it is just so different than, you know, what we just saw with the Hawks or what we see with the Falcons every year, where it's like you draft this guy and you're like, okay, where does he immediately fit in our plans? Whereas with this, it's all right, well, we like this guy a lot, how soon can he get here? That's a totally different set of math.
What's your first impression of Profar?
I mean, it's a disappointment, if I'm being honest. I mean,
no, I'm just talking about scooting past, I guess. Let me rephrase this.
Let me say this, because I'm not of the camp that I'm ready to say, let's just put that in the past, because it's one of the many things that has mm-hmm. contributed to the Braves lineup. So
yes.
As much as it's nice to see him come along and say, oh, you know, his version of the right things after getting popped for the PED suspension, it's a major contributing factor for some of the underperformance of this team. Now, he's not one guy that's going to fix it all, and that includes right now and moving forward, but he is a useful player, and hopefully he lives up to the contract they gave him. But my first impression, and I'm just going to dig my heels in about it, is it's been a disappointment for him. He has some time this year to kind of erase some of that or to counteract some of that, but it's hard to look at it any other way.
Yeah, I totally understand. Look, Grant, I've been pretty hard on him too. So, look, anyway, that's that. Let's hope that the home run derby goes well, and that Matt Olson and Ronald Acuna, you know, represent, as I'm sure they will, the Braves in Atlanta. And I really I hope and trust that you will have a great and grand and glorious time, Grant, at this event this weekend at Truist Park show as well.
Looking forward to it. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Grant McCauley, our Braves insider, joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. It is a Friday. Strong arm story of the day around the corner here on Dukes and Bell. And by the way, thank you for sitting through, and Dukes and Bell will be back on Monday. Going to be busy. We'll kind of catch you up again on what the plan is for the station next and for all the weekends, because it's about to get cray-cray when it comes to Atlanta. Not we're just talking about Beyonce concerts on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card, buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Well, the strong-arm story of the day, of course, is Atlanta's about to get nutty. It's already nutty. Well, Atlanta's always nutty, but, you know, with the Beyonce concerts that are going on at MBS. But, gentlemen, I picked a heck of a time. I did not, when I scheduled the vacation to go to the lake and go fishing, I didn't, I probably should have looked at the calendar a little bit better. All-Star Weekend, SEC Media Days, Home Run Derby, you got NFL camps opening and summer league. That's not Atlanta necessarily, but we're certainly, you know, paying attention to it. I mean, is there one thing, Day-Day, is there one thing above others when you look at SEC Media Days, All-Star Game, Home Run Derby, other things that are going on that's going to probably grab your the most of your attention?
I think it's honestly for me SEC Media Days because, I mean, that pretty much signals that, you know, football season is here in my mind.
So what are you, Data, what are you wanting to hear there? What's, you know, we went through the coaches who are under fire and how they're going to talk. Is there anything in particular that you're going to be kind of listening for?
I won't say anything particular, but I will say I know that a lot of people are going to be trying to anticipate what Sankey is going to have to say as far as his stance on the college expansion and the formula and what it should be. So I'm going to be interested to see, like, what comes about of that. But me personally, I don't have anything particular. I just get excited that once it's here and, you know, you get all the sound bites and you hear from all the coaches and players, it's like, yeah, it's go time.
Orin, is there one thing stands out for you in the next 5 to 6 days?
Yeah, it's SEC Media Days. That's just the first kind of day, the first sort of back-to-football moment that we're getting right now, yes.
Well, I would agree with you guys. Honestly, I'm looking forward to the Home Run Derby because, look, every year, right, there's a – this is so sad. Man, this is so sad. Every year there's a moment that kind of defines the season, right? Acuna holding up the base for 40-70, Soler hitting a home run 6,428 miles. There's a play, there's a moment that kind of defines the season. For this year's Braves season, which has been just a damn disaster, you know, Ronald Acuna winning the Home Run Derby and then, you know, doing his dance around the base. Because I think if he walks off the Home Run Derby, he's got a circle. in front of the home fans would be like classic, because it would give us something, anything, you know, to say, okay, that's like the capper. This season's over. Let's move on to next year. And then just play out the string, because it's been so disappointing.
But if Ronald doesn't win the home run derby, John, is it a disappointing weekend?
No, I mean, because it doesn't winning the home run derby doesn't salve what's happened this year, okay? And losing the home run derby doesn't ruin what's happened this year, because it's already ruined. So I just would be nice to have a moment, you know, I guess is what I'm saying. And it's really the only chance you have to have a moment right now is this All-Star weekend. Either Acuña wins the home run derby, or Matt or Acuña wins the MVP of the All-Star game with a big hit or a home run or something at Truist Park. Aside from that, you know, just trying to glean something that we can have a takeaway and, you know, some kind of good memory of the year, because I don't want to be down in the mouth. But, guys, I mean, Oren, this is awful. This is terrible. So,
you know what it is, John? In my opinion, I think, and granted, look, I know not every team has, you know, I know a lot of teams kind of stay consistent, but I think what it is for Braves country is the fact that we've been spoiled. We haven't seen this team this down in so long that it just, and they've been the bright spot of the city when it comes to sports franchises. And so it's just a tough spot to be in, because for the first time, it's like of the three teams or the four teams, none of them have been giving us anything to talk about in a full calendar year.
Yeah, you're telling us. I mean, we know this better than anybody else, guys, right? Because we're talk show hosts. I mean, so all of us, we have to deal with this. You know, you walk in every day going, okay, what are we going to talk about today? And we don't want to be – look, they're talk show hosts, and I don't know. I want to speak for other people, but you all know them. Who they come in and they go, this guy sucks. I'm not talking about this radio station, but in other markets too. You fire this guy. This guy sucks. He sucks. And they want to scream into the mic. And I've had co-hosts when I was on the National that wanted to do that. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's not really kind of how I roll. You know, I want to be going, hey, how about this? I mean, I want to be the excited guy, but I don't have a whole lot to get excited about. So this is why people say, oh, you're way over your skis. Yeah, because it's in my nature. I want to have success. I want to see good things happen. I want to be able to, you know, celebrate with the fans and jump up and down. I'm a fan. I don't want to, I mean, my life isn't going to be, you know, dedicated to being, you know, angry all the time. I'm not angry old man shouting at clouds on my lawn. That's not what I want to be. And so I want to be, you know, having some fun, and hopefully that'll happen. Now, as it happens, the real thing I really want, the real highlight for me, of course, would be a king salmon. If I get a king salmon, if I get a 22-pound king salmon, yeah, that'll make my week. Yeah. Because what's the biggest fish you've ever caught, Oren? Do you know?
I do not. We have a picture of me when I was like 4 or 5, and I caught a bunch of, like, they call them crappies or whatever. I don't know what the...
Yeah, crappie, crappie, yeah. Yeah, yeah, striped bass, yeah.
I caught a bunch of those.
By the way, really good eating.
Well, these didn't look like they were very good eating, because my grandma threw them away as soon as we left. So,
oh, no, crappie, really good.
But, yeah, just those, yeah, I think those are the biggest fish I've ever caught.
Yeah, but they could be 2.5 pounds.
If these were 2 pounds apiece, then I was doing all right.
Yeah. Do you know, Day-Day, what the biggest fish you ever caught?
No, because I was probably about 8 years old the last time I went fishing, so I don't remember. Yeah.
I caught a barracuda once out in the Pacific.
Did you throw it back?
No, we ate it. It was good. It was tasty.
Barracuda? You eat barracuda?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody else was catching tuna. We were in a tuna run. I didn't get a tuna, but I did get a barracuda. And he was, I don't know, 4 feet long and probably weighed 7, 8 pounds, nine pounds.
That's like the fish you mount up on the wall, John.
No, we chopped his head off, filleted him, and we threw him on the fire and had tacos. Are you kidding me? No,
barracuda tacos.
Yeah, darn right. It was tasty. Ooh. No, it's not red snapper tasty. Red snapper is like the best. Red snapper is the best. If you can catch, boy, when we were out fishing in the Pacific, we could catch a red snapper. Oof, you know, I mean, tuna's great. You know, Sculpin's really good. Barracuda's good, but that red snapper, that's just like next level. You know, sea bass is good, overrated a little bit in my book, but yeah, that red snapper. No, so I think the biggest fish I've ever caught is about 8 pounds. And it might have been that barracuda, because most of the fish I've caught have been, you know, I mean, I've caught some large bass, largemouth bass, but what are they, you know, 5 pounders? You know, I'm not catching 15 pounders or anything like that. And most of my fishing has been done in lakes. Though I did do quite a bit of ocean fishing when I lived in L.A., but I was catching mostly smaller fish, you know, rockfish and sea bass and things of that nature. So I never did land a tuna. But I will tell you this one thing. So we go out on a tuna run, and your limit, guys, for yellowtail, okay, is because there's two kinds of tuna, right? You get the bluefin and the yellowtail. The bluefins that you watch, you know, are in the Atlantic, and those are the monsters, right? That can be 800 pounds. The yellowtail that are out in the Pacific are small. I mean, 20 pounds would be a big yellowtail tuna. But your limit is like one. And so we're out on a boat with like 30 guys, and one dude catches two. But you can't catch two. That's not allowed. And so they took the other one, and they immediately called it the boat fish, because you can only have one. And so they fillet it. Okay, right there. They just pull out the board. I mean, this went from out of the water onto the board, head off with that fillet knife for this guy who's filleting it on the boat in like 30 seconds. And then he's cutting it up. And the first thing he does is he takes a big chunk of it and then holds out the knife. And my buddies are like, okay, you're the rookie, because it was the first time I was out there. You got to go first. I'm like, what? Go first what? Have it. They wanted me to eat raw tuna that 60 seconds before had been in the water. Would you do it?
I wouldn't, but I knew a young lady from Okinawa who said that's how they fished.
Would you do it, Oren?
I don't eat tuna, so no.
I'm telling you guys, it's probably the most incredible thing I've ever tasted in my entire life. It just melted in your mouth. It was I was like, oh my God, that's great. I've never had fish that fresh, and it was just phenomenal. Raw. Yeah, raw. You know, I'm not eating raw fish. Well, you just have to take it from somebody who did it. It's that great. Just, I'm telling you, it's that bloody great. It was like, okay, can I have some more of that? No. Everybody else wanted to get in line. Yeah, so that'll be interesting. Yeah, the SEC Media Days thing. Day-Day, you brought up a really good point. I hadn't really even thought about it. I don't know why I didn't. Oren, I think Day-Day's on the right track here. The most interesting thing of the SEC Media Days is going to be Greg Sankey.
Not just to talk about expansion, but what he's going to say about what the latest legislation, the revenue sharing, all that stuff. So there's a lot of stuff from the commissioner's standpoint that a lot of people are going to be interested to hear.
Well, you heard Brett Yomark, the Big 12 commissioner. Look, I really appreciate what Brett Yomark, the commissioner of the Big 12, and Jim Phillips, commissioner of the ACC, are going through. They're trying to save their leagues. And they ultimately know that they're not going to be able to do that. And so they're going to go the way of the Pac-12. Because eventually, you know, contracts are going to run out. Eventually, the buyouts are going to get to a point here in the next few years where Clemson and Florida State can afford to go and join the super conferences, you know, the Big Ten or the SEC, and then just pay down. They, well, it's $75 million. They can't afford the buyout. All they do is say, you pay it, the league pays it, and we'll pay you back by taking $7.5 million less in revenue over the next 10 years. You know, it's just basically a loan. And so that's how they get around it. And the league says, fine. We'll write the check. Big Ten says, fine, we'll write the check. You're out. And so, you know, when that happens, that dam breaks, because the only thing keeping the ACC together is that grant of rights that prohibits at the moment. It's too expensive for Clemson and Florida State to get out. Otherwise, Clemson and Florida State would be gone, which is why Georgia Tech is going to have to play this right, because Georgia Tech cannot be left behind. You cannot become Oregon State and Washington State and get left behind. And there will be schools that will be left behind, because once that huge round of expansion comes, then Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti, they join forces. And then there's the other thing to listen for here with Greg Sankey, and the one question I would talk to him about is the alignment of the Big Ten and the SEC. One of the things that's been mentioned is a formal alignment between the two, where they would grow by a couple of teams here or there and then align into one unit where they renegotiate their television contracts and they agree to cross-league games during the year. We're starting to see some of them happen. We saw, you know, last year we see Alabama at Wisconsin or Texas at Michigan. You're going to see Texas and Ohio State, right, in the opening game this year. You're starting to see some of that really beginning to happen between these leagues. So the idea of the – it really intrigues me, the idea of, you know, Georgia at, you know, Penn State. It intrigues me, you know, the idea of those kind of games I find to be fascinating. So – we'll see if that's going to be something that is going to be addressed this week, which is in both the Big Ten and by both Tony Petitti of the Big Ten and Greg Sankey of the SEC. Is there more discussion of stronger ties and contractual agreements between those two leagues? I think we might be on the edge of it, because the other thing you're going to hear about is the 16-team playoff. And that thing is going to be announced. I would imagine it's going to be announced now that this will be the beginning of the 16-team playoff, and the structure. Is it 5-5, you know, 2-1-3? Is it going to be 5-11? The structure of the 16-team, and the 16-team will guarantee both the Big Ten and the SEC at least four spots each in the playoffs. So it'll be really interesting to see how this goes. But that's a really good call, Day-Day. Actually, the most interesting person's to listen to in the Big Ten and SEC media days are the two commissioners. Yeah, that's a good call. Well, my thanks to everybody that was part of the program today, to BMAC, Grant McCauley, Steve Coonan, to Day-Day and Oren. Hey, thanks, guys. It's been a wonderful 2 days. You walked me through it, and I really appreciate all your help.
Shout out to you, John.
Yeah, great working with you, man. It's been a minute.
All righty. So stand by. Duke Sabel will be back on Monday. Stand by for all the coverage from the All-Star Game, from Murph's, all the coverage of the SEC Media Days, from down at the College Football Hall of Fame, and everything that's going on in Atlanta happens right here on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.